Nothing. This morning we preached on ain't nothing God can't do, amen? And tonight I just want to preach on you ain't caught nothing. Hey, I want to ask you something. Have you ever been a fisher and you ain't never caught nothing? You put your wife and your grandbabies in the boat with you and you can't catch nothing. Amen. You ain't caught nothing. Nothing. How'd that make you feel when you ain't caught nothing? Most of us give up and quit, correct? Tonight, I want to preach a title on when you ain't caught nothing, what you need to do. When you haven't caught not one thing, what you need to do. John 21 and verse number 3, if you found your place, I ask you to stand for the reverence of reading of God's Word. John 21 and verse number 3, and the Bible says, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Watch where you go, because there's a crowd following you anyway. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Lord, we love you. Father, I pray anything that I've said that's not right already tonight, I pray you cover it. In the blood of Jesus, Lord God, I thank you that we can come to your house and we can lift up the name of Jesus. I thank you tonight that we can come to your house and have a good time. I thank you tonight, Father God, that we've come for nothing more but a pep rally to lift up the name of Jesus and to shout it from the mountaintop, Father. Lord, I know a lot of Baptist churches, they don't get excited and have a good time, but we're not a bunch of dead Baptists. We serve a living God tonight. And Lord God, I thank you for that. I thank you that you're high and lifted up. I thank you that you're on the throne. I thank you that you're still saving people. I thank you that you're still doing things that blows the doctor's mind, that blows people's mind. And Lord God, you're just going to do a lot of things in this local body church that people are going to say, where'd that come from? And it only come from the throne room of heaven. I pray for the next few moments, you guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you, nothing about me. Father, I praise you tonight for what you do in my life. Have your will and way. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Have caught nothing. Tonight as we come here and we look in the text, we see that God had put Peter and John together. This ain't the only time that you'll find Peter and John together. There has been many a times in the Word of God that you'll see Peter, James, and John. But you remember after the day of Pentecost, he linked up Peter and John there and they healed that lame man that was walking there that was sitting at the temple gate and they reached down and said, silver and gold have we none, but as what we have, we give you in the name of Jesus Christ to rise up and walk. Hey, but before they got there, they came here in John chapter number 21, and it is after the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If anybody ought to believe that on the third day he was going to arise again and come out of that grave, it ought to have been Peter and John. But you know what old Peter said here when he talked to the other disciples? He said, I'm going back to what I know to do. I'm going back to fishing. I'm going back to what I know what to do. You know what a lot of people do when they get out of church and they quit going to church? Hey, go back to the things that they gave up at one time in their life. They go back to their old life. They go back to their old living. They're going back to doing what they know to do. But tonight as we look at this, I want you to know when they went back to what they knew they was going to do, the Bible says that they caught nothing. Hey, can I say to you tonight, I want you to remember these are seasoned fishermen. These ain't just some people that think they're going to go a fishing. They are seasoned fishermen. When you look in the text, not only we remember that they are seasoned fishermen, but we must remember that they are experienced fishermen. They know what to do when they go a fishing. Even though they just sold all they had, they know what to do when they go a fishing. They know how to catch fish. They know where the fish are. They know the temperature of the water. They know exactly what they need to do. Not only are they seasoned, not only their experience, but these men are professional fishermen. What they do is their livelihood, and they know how to do it. But can I say to you tonight, when the power of God's wanting you to do something else, what you used to do will not work. Can I get an amen? And tonight as we come, I want you to know they know how to fish, and they know where the fish is, but the Bible says that they caught nothing. Nothing came out of what they were doing. They caught nothing. In verse number 3 tonight, I want to show show you how they felt when they caught nothing. Have you ever been in your life and you've been witnessing a family and you've been trying to get them to come to know the saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and time in and time out you've been witnessing and you've been begging them to come to know Jesus, and it seems like nothing happens and nothing comes forward? Can I say to you tonight, they felt the same way. And number one tonight, I want you to know, when you have caught nothing and you feel empty and you feel like nothing's going right and nothing's going on, number one, they got frustrated in what they were doing. Hey, you look here in the Bible, and the Bible says in verse number 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. So they went also with him, and they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. They didn't do nothing else but go and do what they knew to do. And the Bible says, in that night, you know what? They went at nighttime. They went at this time in their life when they knew to fish. They knew that night fishing may be better than day fishing. They knew they was going to the deep water. They was going to a place that they could catch a multitude of fish. They had done it all of their life. They were professionals. But they came at this time in their life, and no longer would they need to be fishing for fish, but they were needing to be fishing for men. And I want you to know, when they went back trying to do what was not of God, they got frustrated with it. And I'm talking to you as your pastor this afternoon. When God has done something in your life and He wants you to give Him honor and He wants you to give Him praise, you will not get out of it easy. You may get even in a place where you don't feel like you're catching anything. And they got frustrated. They had fished all night long. Look in verse number 3. And that night they caught nothing. They fished all night long. And in verse number 4, but when the morning was now come, not only that, but they fished for nothing and they had caught nothing. All night long they had been out there toiling and seeing what they might could do in their own power. Church, can I say to you tonight, we must not struggle in our own power here. We must not be begging for our own power here. We want God to reach down. We want God to move on this place. There's a lot of churches that's frustrated with what's going on inside their four walls. There's no enjoyment. There's no peace. There's no gentleness. There's nothing going on there. Why? Because they're trying to do it in their own strength. Hey, tonight, if you try to do your life and Christianity in your own strength, you're going to be most men miserable tonight. But when you rely on the power of the Holy Ghost, hey, to come down and infill you and to move on you, I want you to know tonight that frustration will go out the window when you're doing what God has called you to do. I see tonight, number one, they was frustrated in what they did. He said, how do you know that, preacher? Because they caught nothing. And if any fisherman tonight, if they go fishing, they want to catch something. Amen. You want to catch something. You just don't go fishing just to go fishing. You go fishing to catch something. And these men went back. So I see they was frustrated, but also I see in verse number 5, they became fatigued. So tonight I want to give you this. There's one thing to be frustrated. But if you stay frustrated in what you're doing very long, even in the ministry, Brother Bradley, if you stay frustrated as a pastor, Sunday school teacher, men's leader, women's leader, whatever you do, if you stay frustrated at what's going on, it won't long. That'll become a fatigue in your life, and you'll get tired, and you'll start running in your own power and your own strength and not in the power and the strength of the Holy Ghost. And tonight, here's what they said here in verse number 5. As Jesus stood on the shore in verse number 4, and they knew not it was Him. Why? Because they was not in the power of God. They were in their own power. How many times have you been in a service and you didn't even know God passed by? You didn't even know Jesus passed by. You think about that tonight. Look what He said. Then Jesus said unto them, here's how I know they were fatigued. They didn't even know it was Jesus. They done got so tired they didn't even know it was Jesus. He said, well, He's hiding Himself. They didn't even know it was Jesus. They didn't have a clue. They didn't understand His voice. They couldn't hear Him. And they didn't even know it was Jesus. When you get frustrated, it won't be long. You'll become fatigued. Look what He said here in verse number 5. And then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? He said, do you got anything? Have you caught anything? And here's what they said. And they answered Him, no. No, I've not got nothing. I've not caught nothing. I've not seen nothing. I've not done nothing. Can I say to you in your life, there's nothing greater than to see somebody be born again. And I believe, and listen, I don't know about all churches. It's the only one I pastor, amen? I can't help what goes on down the road. I'm worried about this local body. But there's one thing I know about in this local body, and I know it very surely. When it dries up and people are not getting saved, you and I both need to examine ourselves and make sure we're right with God, right where He had wanted us to be. Make sure that we ain't done got to the place where we've got frustrated with one another or brothers and sisters of Christ, and make sure we're not got none of that in our life. There's nothing worse than a man of God or a woman of God walking in and they're frustrated with what's going on in the local body church. Hey, can I say to you tonight, that ought not be in this body tonight. We ought to be in one mind, one accord, and be right where God would have us to be. And if you get that way very long, it won't be long. You'll get fatigued and you'll get tired and you'll quit wanting to do what God has called you to do. You know what, tonight, He has not called us to give up, but He's called us to step up. Amen. He has called us to draw closer to Him and draw from Him. Do you know the battle that you fight each and every day of your life? It is not flesh and blood. It is spiritual that comes against you from all kind of places, and it's coming as attack to you. And what does it do when it comes from high places? And it's not flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual. It is number one to get you fatigued. It's wanting you to get tired and get weary and get worn out and not be in the fight what God has called you to do. See, they're not doing what they're supposed to do because, number one, they don't even know Jesus is resurrected from the dead. I give them that. Folks, if you're born again in here, you know Jesus is resurrected from the dead. If you don't know that, you're lost. Come on, hey, that's Bible. It's Bible. It's the resurrection. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection. That's what saved. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That He was resurrected from the dead. If He's still a dead God, you're not saved and I'm not saved. But it's because of the resurrection. They hadn't seen it yet. They hadn't believed it yet. I give them that. But you and I have seen it. There is no reason that we ought to get to the place that we are fatigued and we're tired and we're wore out and we're giving up, because we got a risen Savior, Brother Garrett, that's sitting on the throne. Man, that excites me tonight. We've got no reason to get this way and feel fatigued and wore out and tired. There's no need of that in your Christian life. I know that we're all getting older day by day. Amen? And we may not be able to run as hard as we used to run, but we ought to be able to pray just like we've always prayed. We ought to be able to intercede for some people just like we've always interceded. He said, "Children, have you any meat?" And they said, "We ain't got none." There ain't nothing God can't do. Right then, He could have turned and went the other way, but instead, He pursued the conversation. I want to ask you tonight, how many times in your life has God pursued the conversation in your life? He's always been the one started in my life. I didn't start it with Him. He started with me, even at salvation. I didn't go looking for Him. He come looking for me. I didn't go looking for Him. He come looking for me. The last person I wanted to see was God Almighty, Jesus Christ. But He come looking for me. They are going to fishing, and He's still looking for them. Whatever you're fishing for tonight, if it's not of God, can I say to you that you'll be miserable till you start fishing for the right thing. Whatever, if you're a child of God and you're fishing for anything but God, you'll be most men miserable. If you're fishing for the bigger dollar, more dollar, you're going to be miserable because you're never going to get enough. If you're fishing for a bigger house, you're never going to be satisfied because you're not going to get enough. If you're fishing for whatever, add whatever you want to there. The only thing satisfies that longing in your life is Jesus Christ. Let me show you this, though, as we go on here. I want to show you something, and I don't want to lose where we're at tonight. He said they got frustrated. And they got fatigued. And let me show you the third thing. They felt like a failure. When you get tired and you get fatigued and you get to that place that you're frustrated, it won't be long you'll feel like a failure. If I ask anybody in this room, when you get tired spiritually, how many of you feel like a failure? There'd be hands go up everywhere. Have you ever done all you can do, beat your head against a rock, do everything under the sun, and you felt like a failure? Where does that come from? Satan. The devil. It does not come from God. God doesn't make you feel like a failure. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. When you walk out tonight and you go back to work, you go back to your place Monday, when you wake up and you get halfway through your day and you start feeling like a failure, you remember that's not of God. That's an attack of the devil. That's not God. You're not a failure. You're a success. You're a success tonight. And look what he said here. And he said unto them, look in verse 6. You're talking about a failure. I'm talking about professional fishermen. I'm talking about top dog fishermen. And this man is telling me how to fish. You know, that's the hiccup in a lot of people's lives. They think they know it all. And he tells them, no, you need to do it this way. But look what he said here in verse number 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. He said, you're in the right place, you're just on the wrong side. I wonder who's in here tonight. You're at the right place. You're just on the wrong side. You're at the right place. You're just on the wrong side of the ship. You're on the wrong side of the boat. You're fishing on the wrong side. You need to get on the right side. It makes total difference when you get on the right side and you get right where God would have you to be. Look what he says here. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. I see tonight when he says that, look what he says. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fish. You know why this place is packed on Sunday morning, good crowd on Sunday night, and a great crowd on Wednesday night? You know why? Ain't got nothing to do with our deacons. Ain't got nothing to do with our pastor. Ain't got nothing to do with you. It's just that we're all together in one accord and we're fishing on the right side. You'd be surprised when everybody get on the right side and start doing things the way God wants it done. You'd be surprised what'll happen when God gets right where he wants to be in your life. He comes right up there beside you and you say, Lord, I'm going to let you have complete control. I'm going to let you completely take over. No longer am I going to get tired. No longer am I going to feel like a failure. I'm going to let you have your will on my life. I'm just going to get right there where you're at and let you do all the work, let you do what you want done, and all I'm going to do is be obedient to what you called me to do. They didn't have to do nothing, just let their net down. I wonder who tonight's got their defense up, their net up. And he said, all I need you to do is let your net down. Just let your net down. I'm going to go here. They ain't caught nothing. They was frustrated. They was fatigued. And they felt like a failure. But let me show you who God is. Tonight, if you are frustrated and you get fatigued and you feel like a failure, you remember that he is faithful. He is faithful. I want to show you in the Word of God three times that he uses faithfulness. And the word he uses is N-O-W. When is he faithful? Now, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. He is faithful tomorrow, but he's faithful now. When he tells you to do it now, you do it now. Right? I'm going to show you three times in this word that he uses the word now. Now, he's faithful now. Well, I'm tired. It don't matter. He's still faithful now. I'm frustrated. You don't know what's... It don't matter. He's faithful now. Man, I feel like the biggest failure. It don't matter. He's faithful now. I told in Sunday school this morning, I'm going to tell it again. Charles Spurgeon said one of the greatest blunders of a sermon he ever made was this. He said he preached one Sunday morning. And said when he got done preaching, he battled all week long. And he said, that was the awfulest sermon I ever preached. Ever. He said, I felt like the biggest failure you've ever seen. Charles Spurgeon, they called him the Prince of Preachers of this era. Said he felt like a failure. Said he preached his heart out. Nothing happened. Felt like a failure. Went home that week. He said, next week, I tell you what I'm going to do. He had prayed all week for that past sermon. He said, this week, I'm going to preach a sermon that blows them folks' mind. Said he went in that Sunday morning and he preached. Preached the house down. Everybody was in awe. He walked out and he felt like he wasn't a failure no more until he got home and he felt like a failure again. He said, what is going on? He said in 30 days, he's seen the results of both of them sermons. The one that he felt like was a failure and a blob and no good, 41 people got saved out of that one sermon. The one that he felt like was no good, that he was a failure, and that was a wrong word to preach. And he said after that time, that one that he was, that was a dynamic word, zero salvations come out of it. He said, so a lot of times when you feel like a failure, that's when God's going to work the most in your life. When you feel like you got it all together, that's when you're going to feel the worst. I'll never forget, we got at Dollar General at Sulligent one day, back when we used to go to the jail ministry, and there's about four of us loaded up and count myself. We went to the jail. All the way to the jail, the guy sitting there with me, God was knocking on my heart's door, just beating me to death. He's preaching on tithing. I said, ain't none of them jokers down there got any money. What do you want? I mean, they're locked up. Why do you want me to preach on tithe? Why, what is this purpose? He said, there's somebody down there that needs that word. That needs that word. They need to get this. They get some things lined up. And I was like, are you kidding me? All the way down there, the boy's like, what's wrong with you, Brother BJ? You ain't talking. What's wrong? I was like, well, if you know what I got to tell him. Oh, gosh. About like this morning, if you know what I got to tell y'all, y'all going to know why Brother BJ's got his head between his legs. You ever felt that way? I hope you have. Have you ever felt that way? Boy, sure hope you have. Have you ever felt that? Boy, sure hope you have. I got down there and preached on tithing. Got back in the truck. I was happy. They felt the same way I did going down. He's an idiot. He has lost his mind. 3 days later, I was riding down the road. Sister Holly going to Fulton. Riding down the road, minding my own business. Sheriff called and said, Brother Mills. I was like, who's done got locked up now? That's a member of the church. Yeah. Come on. Y'all know church members get locked up. They ain't supposed to, but they do. And I, come on. I said, yes. He said, are you sitting down? I said, yes, I'm riding down the road, and I won't call the man's name. He said, but we had an inmate that wrote a check to Union Chapel Baptist Church if you'll come by and get it. I said, do what? He said, yeah, we got an inmate that's wrote a check to Union Chapel Baptist Church if you'll come by and get it. I said, I'll be down there in a little bit. I clicked off the phone. I got to bragging on God right there in that truck, Brother Dylan. I got to thanking God that I didn't mishear him, that I understood what he told me to do. And them other three men that was in the truck with me, I called them up. I said, hey, y'all know when y'all thought I was an idiot? Y'all remember that? And they was all like, yeah, I remember that. I said, you remember that night? Yeah, I remember that. It was just Monday night. I said, let me tell you what God did. See, some of you right now, you're thinking, boy, he's done lost his mind. But let me tell you what God done. He's faithful even when I'm not faithful. And he's faithful to make it when we don't know where he'll grab it from. Let me show you this in the Word. Let me show you how faithful he is. Let me show you this tonight. Look with me if you will. Even when you are a failure, he is still faithful. There's three nows. Look with me in verse number 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore and now. Now, when he told them to cast it, immediately they caught. Now, he's telling somebody here tonight to do something, and you know he's been telling you this, and you need to do it now. Now they were unable to draw it for the multitude of fish. Verse number 7, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, being John, said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard it, it was the Lord. He girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. What did he do? He let it down, and when the results came, he took off to the Lord. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid therefore, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. He said, bring what you got now. Bring what you got now. He said, preacher, I ain't caught nothing. Bring what you got now. He said, preacher, I don't know how to talk to anybody about Jesus. Tell them what he done for you. Preacher, I don't know how to lead anybody to Jesus. Go the way you went. Go the way the Bible told you to go. Preacher, I'm not good at talking. Just open your mouth and he'll do the work now. He says this. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fish, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Was not the net broken. I wrote this down. Please don't get frustrated, fatigued, or feel like a failure because God has been so faithful to you. He said, preacher, how has he been faithful? In verse number 5, he called them. And Jesus said unto them, have you called anything? Tonight, if you're in this place, he's talking to you. He's called you. Have you answered that call tonight, accepted him as your Lord and Savior? Are you fishing for him tonight? Are you fishing for him? Not only has he called you, but in verse number 6, he has changed you. He changed them. There'll never be a man that he called that man or woman didn't accept that call, that there was not a change. You show me anybody that says they're saved and there's not been a change, I will show them in the Word of God where they're still lost and they're hell bound. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. There's a newness. Brother Tony, was there a newness in your life? Yes, sir. Brother J.D., was there a newness? Brother Brent, was there a newness? Sister Kim, was there a newness? Sister Vicky, there's a newness. You're not who you used to be. Any man or woman, boy or girl that he calls, he changes. There's no way the God of the universe can call you and you come to his presence and not be changed. Look in verse number 6. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side. What'd he do? He changed them. Man, he changed them. They weren't catching nothing. Now they're catching it all. And ye shall find the cast therefore. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Anybody he's called, he's changed them, but he's also charged them. You did not receive salvation and that remarkable change without a charge on your life. Not everybody's called to preach. Not everybody's called to teach. Not everybody's called to sing. Not everybody's called to do these things. But if you're walking around and you've not caught nothing, it's because you're either lost, you're not changed, or you're not accepting the charge that he put on your life. You can be a child of God tonight doing what God's called you to do and not doing the charge that he put on you, and your net will be empty. I know that. I tried to do things that wasn't in my calling. Wasn't a calling on my life, Brother David. But the church felt like, not this church, but these churches felt like that's your calling. Don't let somebody tell you what your calling is. They don't know. God didn't tell them. He told you. He told you. And sometimes a calling is no more than just doing what he's called you to do. Just getting in line. Being that example. Being that fisherman that God's called you to be. I don't know about you, but I sure am thankful that he changed me when he called me. And he charged me. So what's that charge? To go preach? No, I get to go preach. But he charged me to do this, to go tell the world about him. Just go tell the world about him. You'll have more opportunities to tell the world about him than I'll ever have behind that desk right there. That's where I get to come in here and love on y'all and preach the word. But my mission field, Miss Mavis, I believe, painted it at the old building up above, or somebody. I may be giving the credit to the wrong person. When you used to go out the old building, y'all remember what it said? Now, you're entering your mission field. You're entering your mission field. If they'd have went back to what they had always done and caught a multitude of fish, do you think they'd have followed him after the day of Pentecost? No. They could get what they need over here. But he put Peter and John together to do what he's called them to do. Make sure whatever you do this week that you're right where God would have you to be. Whatever it is. I don't know what you got going on, but you make sure. Don't you get frustrated with it when he's called you to do something. Don't get fatigued. Don't feel like a failure. He's faithful. He's faithful. Y'all remember that illustration I used this morning? That simple, crazy illustration. Sister Blenda, you remember, don't you? Y'all remember? Brother Dave, you remember? I thought about that illustration all week long. Ever since yesterday. Felt like a whole week. You know? No, it wasn't. It's Friday. Friday. I felt like it a whole, and I said, that is so simple. They're going to think I'm stupid. And the Lord said, use it. And I said, I'll use it in Sunday school so I won't have to let my net down in front of all them people on Sunday morning. I'll use it in Sunday school, Brother Jerry's class. I went in your class this morning. I knew your class could handle it real well. So I went in his class. Me and you on the same page, brother. I love you, bro. I love you. I said, I'll go in his class and use this illustration. And the Lord said, that ain't where you're supposed to use it. And after that illustration this morning, my soul has been so full because I was obedient to what he called me to do. What you think is so simple and so, you never know how it's going to touch that next person. And when you know God's put it on you to deliver it and to give it, you give it. You deliver it. And I promise you, if he's gave it to you, it'll be at the right time. He'll show you at the right time. So I'm going to ask you something. This week, when you ain't caught nothing, just remember you might need to just fish on the other side. Amen. Let's gather around the room tonight.